Over the last 6 months or so, we've acknowledged in many and various ways that this time in University Lutheran Church's life is a time of transition, a time of discernment. With pastoral changes and changes in the structure of Lutheran campus ministry, we have recognized the need to ask the question, where is God leading us? The process we are calling Conversations in the Beloved Community, led by Pastor Cindy, gives us a framework to explore where we believe God is leading us. Today's first lesson and gospel reading suggest another question. Where is God leading me? Where is God leading me? Hearing the story of Samuel's call and the calling of the first disciples by Jesus during this time of communal discernment suggests an interplay between the two questions that is elusive, complex. David Jacobson accepted the call of Boston University School of Theology to join the faculty as its homiletics professor. The school, in very human and down-to-earth ways, discerned in David the gifts that academic community needs in that particular position. David discerned God's call for his life in the process, in the moment of this school's invitation. His discernment occurred in the very human, down-to-earth process of a family exploring the ins and outs of what a major move might mean for them, opening up new and difficult questions for each member of the family. That whole process, initially seeming quite separate from UniLu's life, contributed to another round of questioning that brought Pastor Cindy among us to help us with our questions. The questions, where is God leading us? And where is God leading me, can never be neatly separated as though they had nothing to do with one another. The interplay between them is constant, squishy, complex, hard to pin down. As in the first three Gospels, so also in the Gospel of John, Jesus begins his ministry by calling disciples to follow him. He begins by gathering a community. We pick up the story just after Jesus has called two of John the Baptist's disciples to follow him now. On the next day, Jesus decides to accept a wedding invitation that he has received and make his way to Galilee. The text says that Jesus then found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, what Philip then does is quite interesting. In the Synoptic Gospels, we're told that upon hearing Jesus' word to follow him, the first disciples dropped everything and did so immediately. But in today's reading from John, Philip responds to Jesus' action by repeating it. Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael. I want to linger over this with you for a moment. We believe that Jesus finds us and calls us, each of us and all of us, in the waters of baptism. The word in the water gives us, each of us and all of us, something to cling to whenever we doubt our deepest identity as God's daughters and sons. And that word gives us something to explore for the rest of our lives. What does it mean for each of us and all of us to live as those who belong to Christ Jesus? That question, as we wrestle with it personally, is a question that involves all aspects of our lives. Sure, as we look at jobs or decisions regarding schools, we explore, is this a good move for my career? Is this a good move for me as an academic? Is this a move that will somehow be good for those around me, those with whom I am closely connected? But as we ask those questions, we are also asking questions, we, the baptized, about how it is that our decisions will somehow serve God's purposes. Somehow, in all of these questions about jobs, retirement communities, relationship decisions, we are invited through the waters of baptism to ask also the question, how will this decision serve God's purposes in my life? Philip responded to Jesus' call to follow him by finding another person, Nathanael, and then sharing the word of Jesus with him. The text hints that Nathanael was not simply a random discovery for Philip, because the name Nathanael means God has given. The writer of the fourth gospel could well be anticipating one of his major themes here, that Jesus' disciples are those whom God has given him. But this also suggests something about the nature of Christian discernment. The question, where is God leading us, must be answered in part by struggling with another question. To whom is God leading us? And another question, perhaps much more uncomfortable, to whom is God leading me? What does it look like for me to share my hope in Christ with another person? Is there a right time for me to share my hope in Christ with someone else? And when might that be an imposition? Do I share Christ only by my actions, my deeds of service done in Jesus' name? Or do I also speak explicitly of Christ to others? To whom is God leading me? And how do I know that? Nathanael is skeptical. Nathanael is skeptical of what Philip has to say. Philip says to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael's famous reply, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Again, I want to linger. Nathanael means no disrespect to Philip. He doesn't intend to insult Philip's intelligence. Nathanael comes by his skepticism honestly. He's a scholar. That, at least, is what the business of the fig tree seems to suggest. An early rabbinic interpretation of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 18, "The one who tends a fig tree will also enjoy its fruit," compared the words of Scripture to the fig tree. As with the fig tree, the more one searches it, the more figs one finds on it, so it is with the words of Torah. The more one studies them, the more one relishes what one finds in them. That Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree may mean that Nathanael was a scholar, a student of Scripture. And therefore, in a position to use his study of Scripture as a tool in discernment. To whom is God leading us? To whom is God leading me for hope and to share hope? Our gospel reading suggests that discerning a response to those questions is not magic, not a vague, entirely subjective process. No. Nathanael's response to Philip suggests that study is an essential part of discernment. Study of the issues, study of the context, and most certainly, study of the Bible and our Lutheran theological perspective. I linger to ask you, each of you and all of you, to embrace study of Scripture as a part of the discernment process we are in as a community, but also in the discernment process that is your life. God uses Nathanael's study to prepare him to hear a promise that is for him and for all who follow Jesus. After the exchange between Nathanael and Jesus, when Nathanael is so surprised that Jesus has seen him under the fig tree at study and calls him Son of God and King of Israel, Jesus responds by saying, You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you will see greater things than these. And Jesus said to Nathanael, very truly, I say to you all of you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Such a strange promise. Jesus promises a vision of the Son of Man, similar to the vision Jacob experienced in the book of Genesis. Jacob, the old patriarch, received a theophany, a revelation of God in which he saw a ladder. Do you remember it? A ladder linking heaven and earth with angels climbing up and down the ladder with God standing atop it. The ladder functioned in Jacob's vision as a bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus promises a similar, though different, vision to Nathanael and his disciples. We will be Jacob-like figures, promises Jesus. Jacob-like figures, beneficiaries of a vision, but unlike Jacob's vision. Jesus does not speak of a ladder. Earth is not linked to heaven. Heaven alone is in view, and it is opened. It is opened so that we may see into it as angels ascend and descend upon Jesus, the Son of Man. The vision Jesus promises is a vision of revelation in which heaven is opened up as we gaze upon this one who walks to the cross. This is Jesus' first word in the Gospel of John, and it anticipates as a promise the conclusion of the Gospel of John, the crucified one as the resurrected one. The promise suggests another point to linger upon. This discernment that we are in as a community and as individuals is full of promise, not necessarily because of all that we bring to it, but full of promise because Jesus is the one who stands behind the promise, promising us that we will see as we struggle to discern our way forward. We will see together and individually as we continue to reflect with all of the skills at our disposal upon what it means for us now to follow Jesus, the crucified and risen one. In Christ's name, amen.